Welcome to this podcast for St. Peter's Church Greenhill, as we seek to become loving, witnessing and growing people.
For the beginning part of this year, we've been exploring together as a family our common life and what it is that we as individuals and as a community, as a church, want to invest our time, money and energy in. And I've been asking that question: what is it that you, as an individual, want to invest your time, money, and energy in? And as always, I've been framing it in a, I think, a helpful structure to making decisions. I use it a lot in my day-to-day life. I offer it to you as a means to make some big decisions. And that's to start with asking why. Why do you invest anything in anything? Why do you give time, money and energy to anything in your life? What is it that drives and motivates you? To be able to identify that is a really good start, because it gets the motor running in terms of action. I've helped us as a church together to ask that question over the last 5 years. Continue to ask it. It's always worth checking in. Why do we do anything? Why do we invest time, money, and energy into things? And what we've discovered, just as Paul discovered and Christians around the world have discovered through the centuries, why we do anything is, of course, Jesus. God's grace. We do things because God has done things with us and in us and for us, and our response is to give back. Our response is to sort of head towards that, knowing that that is what we were designed to be. And we've begun to focus this investment particularly on our generosity and our response of giving our time, money and energy. And Sarah set us up so beautifully in her sermon a couple of weeks ago. And if you've not heard any of the sermons, then I do encourage you to go to our website and download them. Sarah talked about the motivation is grace. That we are designed to sort of, as she said, continue these ripples of grace. This is the economy that we should be living in. We're not, quite clearly, but we should be. And we should enact this. That we give because God has given to us. We are to pray because God prays for us. At Vision Sunday, I talked about the why of being our values, and I won't rehearse them now. I've done them too often over the last few weeks, but if you need reminding, they are at the back. This is why we do anything, and it's why we should give. Then, once you've got why you invest your time, money, and energy, you then should ask the question, well, how? How am I going to invest my time, money, and energy? And what character and what spirit should I give or do? And again, we rehearse the values. We do it boldly, we do it fearlessly, we do it passionately, we do it unceasingly. We do it because that is how God has given to us, so we imitate. We step into this model of gift, of generosity and of grace, continuing the ripples as they go out from God through us. But we also do it together as family. And this is, again, something that Paul has picked up in this letter to the Corinthians, is that we should do it eagerly or fearlessly, passionately, unceasingly, boldly. Eagerly and as a family, together in relationship. That we give because others are giving also. How do we give? Well, we give collectively. The small thing that we might have becomes a big thing if everyone gives a little. Becomes a big thing. We combine it together, and God suddenly is using us together as one body to bless, to give our time, money, and energy. So the little time that you might invest, added to someone else's little time, becomes quite a big amount of time that is invested. Same with money and energy. And last week, Simon talked about what we should give. He summed it up very beautifully at the beginning, everything. But the nuance of it was to look at all times, to be able to give. Quote the film he talked about, Robots, to see a need and fill a need. If you want an example of what that looks like, we have two particular families who are wonderfully public in that sort of area. They self-define as gap fillers, the Hayses and the Rattigans, both gap fillers. See a need, fill a need. If you see something and it stirs you, just as Sarah Clayton said at the beginning of the sermon series, don't just leave it as a thought, act on it. If you think about suddenly someone might be without a meal, don't just go, oh, I should make a meal and then forget about it. Do it. Fill the need. Ah, I think of this person. They must be struggling. I might just pop in and say hello. Oh, I've forgotten about it. Do it. See a need, fill a need. So we come to the end of this series, really. And so I ask you the question. What is it that you, as an individual, and then as a community, what are you going to invest your time, money, and energy in? The PCC have thought about this, have presented some possibilities, things that they think God is calling us to invest in. They've seen some need, and they think this is how we should fill it. I will rehearse the priorities that we've set for this year as an offer to you to say, hey, shall we invest time, money, and energy? The PCC making that decision isn't to say, well, that's what they're going to do and you can do something different. They are offering it to say, you know, shall we together, boldly, passionately, fearlessly, and unceasingly, are we going to invest together in these things? And those things are as follows. First of all, we want to invest in partnership and relationship with the wider community, connecting and blessing all these good things that are coming out of our community, of being present. We want to invest time, money, and energy into doing those sorts of activities, to build those relationships. We want to invest our time, money, and energy in the young people and children of our neighbourhood. We want to invest our time, money, and energy into celebrating and increasing the diversity of the ways in which we pray and the ways in which we worship. We want to invest time, money, and energy in resourcing one another to learn and to grow in our faith, in our knowledge of God, and in our passion for relationship with Him. We want to invest our time, money, and energy into pastoral culture, in supporting one another, particularly in small groups, but in other areas as well. We want to invest our time, money, and energy in developing the parish centre as a place where people might want to come. Yes, certainly to pay money, to increase our capacity and our ability to fund projects, but also as a place of hospitality, of just being able to connect with groups as they come in. So we want to invest in that, to make it a place of welcome and of service. And finally, we want to invest our time, money, and energy into making our processes, the things which often just slow us down, bog us down, the operational parts of the church, important as they are, we want to invest in a system that's really easy to pick up and to get going and to get it done, so that we can focus on the things that the Lord is calling us to. We want to invest in that in order to release. These are the things that we've proposed. You may think differently. So what is it that you individually are going to invest your time, money, and energy into in the next few years? Well, if Simon is correct, you should see a need and fill a need. Let me show you the needs, just to make it really clear. And I'm not doing this in order to make you feel guilty. I'm not doing this to force you to respond in any way. But I ask you, as you watch and listen to these needs, you might be praying that God would tell you why you should give, how you should give, and then what you should give. So here are the needs. First of all, I ummed and ahed about whether or not to do time, money, or energy first. I've decided to go with time just because that's how I've been saying it. So here are the time needs. These are the things that we need people to give time to. And ultimately, it's the PCC. Our PCC needs people to invest their time in it. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be full of bright ideas. You don't have to be anything particular except for, I would ask, prayerful. To turn up and to pray for the life of this church. That's it. You commit, in terms of time, to be a PCC member, you commit to one meeting for 11 months of the year. One meeting a month for 11 months. We have August off. To turn up one evening every month, to listen to what is going on in the church, to pray, and to offer whatever it is that you think God is saying in prayer. We alternate between full PCC meetings on one month. The next month will be what we call committee meetings, where it's more focus groups, again, looking at a very particular part of the church, and all the committees meet in one month, and then the next month there are no committee meetings, and there's a PCC meeting. So it's 11 meetings a year. Can you give your time to that? Maybe 11 meetings is too much for you. Maybe 11 evenings a year is too much. That's fine. Why not consider giving 5 meetings a year and sitting on a PCC committee? The particular needs are people to oversee the life of our prayer and worship and the operations of the church. These are the particular committees that need people to just commit, to turn up, to listen, and to contribute if they can. Maybe that's you. Maybe you kind of go, oh, there's a need. I need people to sit and to think about our prayer life and our worship life. Maybe you have a particular interest in that. Well, sign up. Come and talk to myself or to anyone who's currently on that committee. You can look and see on the board just at the back there. If 11 meetings is doable for you, and you kind of think, actually, do you know what? I'm really passionate about this church. I really want to get on board with this. We could really do with an extra church warden. Michelle is currently serving solo, and she's doing okay, just about. She could really do with some help. What's required of a PCC church warden? I've been privileged over my time to have had 2 particularly good church wardens. And I tell you why they are particularly good is because their character is one of prayer and compassion for the church here at St. Peter's, for the people. They love the people. They care for the people. They want to see each individual flourish in their faith. And they are active. They're details people. They want to get stuff done. If you kind of think that's you, or someone that you can think of, someone who cares for St. Peter's and its people, and who wants to get stuff done, then maybe you or them should commit your time to helping Michelle as church warden. It's particularly important that you ask yourself about church wardens, because we also need these 2 other roles, and if no one fills them, Michelle is going to be church warden, PCC secretary, and treasurer. This is completely impossible. Unless you want Michelle to die. If you care anything for Michelle, this is real need. I cannot stress this enough. So PCC secretary, you don't have to turn up for a committee meeting. You could commit yourself to 6 meetings a year. And all you need to do is be able to hear and write down and summarise what people say in a meeting. You don't need to contribute. You don't need to have anything else except for the ability to listen and to write down. If you are computer literate, that's a bonus. If you are slightly more organised and can get papers out to people, that's a bonus. But you can work with Michelle. And again, it's if you can give a little and someone else can give a little, then maybe you can make it a role. The treasurer. You are going to need to be computer literate in this and good with numbers, obviously. But we need someone just to pay monthly bills so that when invoices come in, they get paid, and to keep a track of that, the ins and outs of the accounts. Again, there's training available. If you want to give and want to help Michelle and the church out, then give your time and we will give you support and training. So do step up. And like I said about giving a little, if you can just give, maybe you can only give 2 evenings a year or 3 evenings a year. Maybe you want to partner with someone else and have a shared role of secretary or treasurer or church warden or whatever. To say, you know, I want to give, I want to support, but I'm going to need someone else. And actually this person, they're also a bit strapped for time, but we're going to give together. Great. Need fulfilled. Money. Our major expenditure is listed there. We give to the common fund. That pays for support from the diocese. I know, a lot of us have struggled with where the diocese is in terms of support. But it is there and it is increasing. After this service, we're going to be meeting and discussing focal ministry. And Sally Myers is coming to give and to offer support and help in growing our lay leadership and our lay ministry. So giving of her time for us. But also to think about it in this way, a few people have said to me, well, if you're going, we kind of don't need to pay for a clergy because you're not going to be around. But because I'm not around, you are going to have lots of visiting clergy who are from elsewhere in the deanery coming and leading worship for you. They need to be paid from somewhere. The reality is you don't actually pay for me because I'm paid from a different fund. Don't want to get into that complication. And the person who's going to replace me won't be paid by the diocese. But all the supportive clergy, people like Toby and Murray and Chris Stebbing and all of these people, they're paid by the diocese, and so we contribute to their pay so that they can come and support us and help us in our ministry. Charitable giving. We give 5% of our regular income to charities. We think that's important, and so we want to give to that. So we give 2,800 each year to charities. We've got 6 charities that we support. We want to obviously give as much as we can to them. And then there's just the running costs, which are going to increase. Currently, and for this year, we're predicting spending about £13,500 on electricity, gas, renovations, boiler work, you know, surveys to make sure this place is safe and the parish centre is safe. All of that costs money. All of that plus extras come to about £59,688. That's a lot of money just to pay for us. That's not even including kind of outreach stuff that we want to do, projects that we want to do. It's a big amount. Fortunately, as we've repeated over and over through this series, we here at St. Peter's are generous people. You all who contribute either in the collection plate each week or who give regularly through standing orders or the parish giving scheme. I'll come on to that in just a moment. You give generously. Some of you, of course, may not have got into regular giving, It would be really helpful if you can give money. I'll come on to what that money could be spent on. But just having a regular income means that we can stay feasible and solvent and able to continue to exist for the benefit of this community, to bless them and to continue to minister God's grace together. Collectively, we're due to receive from those who generously give each month through the parish giving scheme about £23,000, just over. And then on top of that, standing orders, which are just normal bank transfers each month, that's £11,000, just shy of £12,000. In the collection plate each year, we pick up about £2,200 from you generous people. And then through parish giving scheme and tax-efficient standing orders, people who gift aid their giving, we are able to gather an extra £6,500. All of that is wonderful, very generous. And, and obviously we hire out the parish centre. That brings in an extra £10,000. All of this together brings us to £54,500, which, if you're quick at maths, means we are short about £5,500. We don't know where that money's coming from. That could be something that you help us with, to give. Give generously. So we have some urgent needs. Of course, already up there is the £5,500 on deficit reduction. You could give to that. I'll come on to that in just a moment. But we also have something called a quinquennial inspection due this year. It was due last year, but because of COVID, we couldn't get it done. It's going to cost us about £600 for an architect and specialists to come, look around our building, check that it's safe, and if there's any work that needs to be done on it to keep it safe. There are obviously great needs. One of them is there, up there, is the electrics. Our electrics haven't been upgraded since the 1960s, and they are on their way out. They've got asbestos. They need to be replaced. It's getting quite urgent now for us to have an upgrade. The quote is £20,000 to get that done. That's a big cost. We don't have that money. And it is unlikely that we're going to be able to find a great deal of funding for it, because no one really wants to pay for the boring stuff of electrics. So we need to find out a way in which we can pay for that. On top of course, the inspection, which will give an opportunity for the architect to give suggestions as to how that might happen, and to work with Joe Edwards, our Mission Partnership Development Worker, in putting together funding bids and a schedule of works and how we're going to get it done. But of course, if you give to our deficit reduction, then we might even be able to go over deficit reduction and pay for things that you could pay for things that we currently pay for, so that we could build up to fixing the electrics and getting that sorted. Things that might help. Some people don't like just giving money. That's okay. Maybe you like to give to a specific thing. Well, here are some specific things that you could give to. Some of our big costs include our detached youth worker, Joe. If we are going to invest time, money and energy in our children and young people, we're going to have to invest in Joe to help us and to lead us on that. This is how much he costs per year. You could give. You could say, I'm going to give my money for the children and young people. I'm passionate about children and young people. How can I give? Well, give there. That will help us. It will help us in reducing our deficit, because the money that we would give to Joe could be given elsewhere. Mission Partnership Development Worker, that's what MPDW stands for. It's Joe. Joe is working towards being self-funding. She just oversees parish centre bookings and fundraising. She's the one that's going to put in all the funding bids and everything and work with us to hopefully get money in. And she's going to add in her own fee to that as she gets paid. But currently we front-end that by giving her that amount of money per year. You could say, well, let's not do that. I'll do that. I'll give a little to that so that you could save up for other things. parish centre renovations. Parish centre continually comes up with things that need to be done. New doors, new liquor paint, fixing the leaks, those sorts of things. Those eat away at our income and increase our expenditure. You could give and just say, I'm really passionate about developing the parish centre. I really want to be involved in that. How can I give? You could give money financially to do that. In order to increase our income, which is another way of getting rid of the deficit, of course, we want to see an increased capacity of our parish centre, more hirers to come in. One of the ways in which we want to do that is by adding Wi-Fi into the parish centre. Lots of our hirers request it, and at the moment we can't give them that. But we would like to install Wi-Fi that works so that they have access to that, so it's more attractive, so that more people come and hire the hall, hire the centre for their purposes. So this is how much it's going to cost per year. We are going to try and work out to pay this through increasing the hire charges, but why not you give and just say, I'm going to give to the Wi-Fi. I'm really passionate about having Wi-Fi in there. I'm going to give this regularly to help with that so that we can spend that money on renovations of the parish centre. It's really up to you as to what you give your money to, but here are the needs. All of that, of course, doesn't even touch upon the projects that we want to do, which is to upgrade the lighting so that this place is brighter and more welcoming. To update our audio-visuals, sound desk and the projector and things. You're struggling to see that projector, I know, that screen. We'd love to have bright LED screens put up both sides, really clear so that everyone can see, everyone can participate, that we have more options of playing films and movies and seeing clips and reflecting on God through those ways, of having a more permanent audio system so that they're off the ground, that they're not stealable. We could open this space for the community to use and not have to have a massive insurance thing just in case these speakers that are easily taken out of the building aren't taken and we have to pay for replacements, etc. We want to be able to open this place, and so that will involve having our audio-visual system. But they cost a lot of money, and that's the needs. That's what we've identified. So what is it that you are going to give your time, money and energy to? And all of that may be overwhelming. But I want to return to that simple thing of giving a little together means that we can give a lot. So what is it that you are going to participate in? What is it that you are going to give to? That you are passionate about? That God has been stirring in your heart? That you haven't quite been able to put it into words or actions? Well, start. Why do you want to give? How do you want to give? And now what? What are you going to give? You've seen the need. Where will you fill it? Because if you don't give, you don't give your time, you don't give your money, you don't give your energy to any of these things, then these things don't get solved. These needs don't get filled. And then we're on the journey towards there's nothing here to invest in because you don't want to invest. I'm sorry to be blunt. But it's really important you ask yourself, how am I investing my time, money, and energy into this place and this community? So I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite you just to be still and quiet in the presence of God. To remind you that God has given you all things. That he has been generous and gracious to give you time, to give you even the smallest amount of money, give you energy. You already spend that time, money, and energy on things. Now is a really good time just to ask yourself, is that what I want to spend my time, money, and energy on? Is this what God wants me to invest in? If so, great. But actually, if there's questions about that, if actually you think maybe God wants me to invest in something else, then listen. Listen to him directing you and guiding you. Help us, Lord, to review our investments. For all our times are in your hands. All our money is yours. All the energy that we have and we decide to use is yours. May we give everything to fill the needs that you're putting in front of us. And when we feel overwhelmed, Lord, and we feel like we have little, help us to remember that we give here at St. Peter's as a family, together. Help us to partner with one another in solving these needs, of meeting them, of sharing without fear with one another. Speak to us now, Lord. What need is it that you want us to fill? For we already know why we want to. We already know how we're going to do it. Help us now to step out in faith. Amen.